The issue has made national news several times in the last year. A drunk high school girl is raped, the attack amplified by viral videos and social media. Some of the boys accused of the acts were investigated, and in the most famous case, two football players were convicted in Steubenville, Ohio. A similar case has now come up in a small Missouri town. But unlike the others, this case seemed to vanish as quickly as it erupted, leaving a town talking, law enforcement under question, and two girls dealing with grown-up problems. KCUR's Monica Sandresky reports in day one of a two-part report.
The first thing Daisy Coleman remembers is her surprise she was still alive.
I was just like, I thought I was dead at first. I was really confused. I was like, what is happening? Like, I couldn't even make sense of anything.
January 8th, 2012, 5 a.m. Daisy Coleman was lying in the front yard of her family's home in Maryville, Missouri. The 14-year-old had been outside about 3 hours, unconscious in freezing temperatures. She had no socks or shoes, just a t-shirt and sweatpants on. Her hair was wet and frozen. She couldn't speak and was barely able to crawl. Her mom and younger brother found her after she dragged herself crying to the front door. They were almost as confused as Daisy.
It almost sounded like somebody just falling against the door. I kept thinking, did she sleepwalk?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and she had absolutely no idea.
That's Melinda Coleman, Daisy's mom. She's a veterinarian and her late husband was a doctor. Her first worry was that Daisy's feet were frostbitten. So she began to put her daughter in a cool bath, hoping to warm her up slowly. As she removed Daisy's pants, Melinda Coleman found bruises and red marks.
And I asked her if she hurt, and she said yes.
Did you see bruises and stuff? Like,
And really, really red marks and stuff.
That's when Melinda Coleman called 911. The story then came out in bits and pieces over the next few hours. The night before, Daisy and a 13-year-old friend she considered her little sister had a sleepover at the Colemans.
I can't exactly remember most of the night, so it's not going to be much of a story. But what I do remember is me and my friend were drinking in my bedroom without my mom's permission. And then this guy texted me and he's like, hey, you want to hang out? And I was like, well, I'll have to sneak around. It's like 1 a.m.
The guy who texted Daisy was Matthew Barnett, a 17-year-old who was a friend of Daisy's older brother and had been at the Colemans a couple nights before for a chilly dinner. Barnett drove over to the Colemans, picked up Daisy and her friend, and along with another boy, snuck in to Barnett's parents' home through a basement window, joining a couple friends there. While there, Daisy continued drinking, using a glass that has since become infamous.
Excuse my language. But they called it the bitch cup, and it's a really, really tall shot glass. I think it had, like, lines, like, if you drank that much, you were, like, some rank or whatever. Like, I don't know, you're like a B-word if you only take, like, half of it or something.
The rest of the story is told in Nottoway County Sheriff's reports. As Daisy continued drinking, her friend and an underage boy went into one of the bedrooms. Barnett admitted to having sex with Daisy in another room, but said she wasn't drunk yet, just buzzed, as he put it. Another boy, 17-year-old Jordan Zeck, told investigators that he used a buddy's iPhone to videotape Barnett and Daisy kissing, half undressed. Barnett, Zeck, and two other boys say they watched the video before deleting it. The younger girl and the boys later told sheriff's investigators that Daisy was incoherent and had to be carried out of the Barnett home. And Melinda says that start to finish, the event didn't take long.
We found out later from the text messaging and from the phone calls, they picked the girls up just a few minutes before 1, and they dropped them off by 2. So they were pretty efficient. They knew what they were doing.
The boys drove the girls back to the Colemans, throwing a condom out the window along the way. The boys told the younger girl to go inside, and they propped Daisy up against the house as she was vomiting and deposited her purse, shoes, and a cell phone. Sheriff Darren White says they had the boys videotape confessions by midday.
I was pretty happy with it because we had what I considered to be a very serious crime, and within a matter of a few hours, we had warrants for their arrest, and they had been arrested. That's a pretty good day.
In Missouri, 17-year-olds are considered to be adults in the criminal justice system. So Barnett was charged with a felony for sexual assault and a misdemeanor for child endangerment. Zeck was also charged with a felony for sexual exploitation of a minor because he admitted to the videotaping. The underage boy with Daisy's friend also admitted he forced her into sex and was charged in the juvenile system. All the boys declined to comment for the story after numerous calls to them. One attorney responded, Robert Sundell, who represented Barnett. He says the investigation and witness statements disproved Daisy's claims. Sheriff Darren White doesn't agree.
Did a crime occur? Hell yes, it occurred. Was it a horrible crime? Yes, it was a horrible crime. And did these boys need to be punished for it? Absolutely.
But a year and a half later, the boys are free and never face trial. So what happened? In day two of our report tomorrow, we'll tell you how the case went from clear to chaos and how the county's top two lawmen disagree on just what happened in the Barnett basement that cold night in January. For KCUR, I'm Monica Sandreski.